helping Yorkshire business succeed. This is Stray FM's Business Hub.
With Cartridge World Harrogate, the world experts in printers.
Hello and welcome to the Stray FM Business Hub podcast. I'm James Stanley. I've got loads on the way for you. I'm going to be joined by Sarah Barry to discuss local industry in the business news desk with NIC Cleaning. And also the Harrogate Chamber of Trade and Commerce will be giving an update on Yorkshire business market and tourism as well. And Laura from 2 Inspire, where the 2 is a number, will be telling us how to be a winner, not a loser in business. And James Glendinning, good advice on keeping your business going, whatever the weather. Now it's time to get all the latest business news on the Business News Desk.
The Business News Desk on Stray FM.
With NIC Cleaning Services, making headline news with the cleanest offices in town.
And I'm joined in the studio now by Sarah Barry, who's going to look at some of the headlines this week on the news desk. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, James.
So the first story we've got this week is a local story, a Harrogate businessman. He's helping others to boost their digital offering. The founder of The Houseman, Jonathan Blackburn, has attended a meeting in Brussels to share his company's success. Google recently helped the property maintenance and handyman service to improve its website ranking. Jonathan has said that it's vital businesses make the most of their website.
You find this the more that you look at other people's offering online. That is now our shop window, is the internet. And so many people, when they start a business, will have a website built for them, and then they never done that, tick that box, and never touch it again. And only if people put in their actual website will it pop up. And there's so much more out there.
So, Sarah, this is obviously something a lot of businesses need to be looking at, the digital offering.
I could not agree with Jonathan more, actually. It's vital that you are in the digital world. You need to be easy to find, relevant. Update your contact us page and make sure you even have a website in the first place.
Because there's still companies nowadays, aren't there, even in our area, that are not online. You search them, they're not there.
It's crazy. You must have a website, even if it's one page with contact us on there, and make sure when you get contacted that you reply quickly as well.
Just to show kind of what happens if you don't have a website, what would happen? I mean, as a consumer, for me, I'd just go somewhere else.
Exactly right. The average consumer will go to anywhere between 3 and 6 different companies. And what do? You'll go to the ones you've heard of first. If you're not there, sorry, you've missed out. You'll go to the next one in line.
So big tip, make sure you've got a digital presence. So looking at our next story, Recruit for Vets. They've been giving away a trip to New York. Now, in April 2015, Recruit for Vets offered an incredible opportunity for one of their candidates to win a once-in-a-lifetime trip to New York City, the Big Apple, as it's called. Now, to enter, all you had to do was to refer a friend to Recruit for Vets, and then they would instantly put you into their competition. They had thousands of entries. Now, this got me thinking, Sarah, as an incentive, this is just fantastic, isn't it?
It's genius, James. I mean, I'm going to steal this idea for myself, I think.
I'm off to New York soon.
No, it's a really, really clever idea, is this, isn't it? Obviously, trying to find really good quality vets as well must be quite difficult, because it's obviously very specialist. But to do this and give the incentive as well, absolute top idea, and has inspired me to do that too.
I know as a business, our business is very good at giving incentives. Maybe if you're a small, medium-sized business and you can't afford to be sending people off to New York, what sort of incentives would you advise to give?
Incentives, time off, duvet days as we do here, that sort of thing, bottles of wine, meals for 2, cinema tickets, anything. It's the gesture. So there's incentives, but there's also rewards. How great is it to get a bottle of vino at the end of the week from your boss to say thank you, well done?
So it doesn't matter the size, it's that gesture.
Absolutely. It's all about the gesture and how valued you feel and engaged, isn't it? And also, you could build something over time and do something over several months. So it's like a savings scheme, that sort of thing. So little and often. And give employees the choice. But what a wonderful idea.
And finally, some good news for businesses, especially along the A59, because the road has reopened between Skipton and Harrogate after millions and millions of pounds has been invested in sorting out the drainage problems there. The first vehicles were being allowed through Kexkill over the weekend. It's been closed for nearly 8 weeks due to the landslip. In that time, many firms have reported a drop in trade. Alison's from the Hopper Lane Hotel.
Well, it has really, really damaged our first year. We're a new business, like I said, and, you know, we've been having the passing trade right up till Christmas, and then after Christmas, obviously there was just nothing coming by. So I'm really, really pleased that it's opened.
So Sarah, we've heard from Alison there about her drop in trade. Obviously, Stray FM's been working really hard to try and boost the business's footfall in that area while the road's been closed. What have you made of the situation with the 8th and 9th being closed?
Yeah, it's been 8 long weeks. It's been shut since the 5th of January, I do believe. And there's been a huge impact, hasn't there? Not just on the businesses, but also on local residents as well and commuters. It's affected our business. We have, obviously, advertisers over in the Skipton area. So our journalists and salespeople have also been affected in terms of getting out and around from A to B. So the impact has been absolutely huge, and also on the other key towns around the area with congestion, so the likes of Otley and Ilkley and Poole in Wharfdale, it's been busier than ever. But I'm really delighted to say we did run a campaign, didn't we, to help businesses, and apparently has helped enormously, so I'm really pleased about that.
Sarah, thank you very much for going through all of the business news headlines this week. Sarah will be back again at the same time next week on the Business Hub News Desk. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
The Business News Desk on Stray FM.
With NIC Cleaning Services, the professional's choice for trustworthy, reliable contract cleaning. JFM's Business Hub with Cartridge World Harrogate, the world experts in printers.
One of the key skills that successful business people often cite as being pivotal to their success is leadership. So we invited the best in leadership training to Inspire to the Business Hub to share some of their top tips for leaders in business. Stray FM's Tom spoke with Laura, who began by asking him to describe a photo.
To Inspire on Stray FM's Business Hub.
So we've got a picture here of two people. Is this from Deal or No Deal?
It is, well spotted.
I can see the numbers in the background, yeah. Just a bit of blue number there. One person is looking very, very happy at the bottom there. There's a man looking very happy. And at the top, there's a woman who seems to be holding her head in her hands, and partner possibly is consoling her.
Yeah, she is very, very unhappy. So if I told you that one of these people had just been told they'd won £21,000.
Right.
And the other one had just been told they'd won 1 pence.
Yes.
Who would you think was whom?
Right, the fact that you're asking me this question makes me think you're
exactly.
maybe going to about
it
to trick me
suspicious.
Here. But yeah. If I was going to say who out of these had won £21,000, I would go for the smiling man at the
exactly.
bottom.
Exactly, you would. Now, Nick was the first member of the 1P Club on Deal or No Deal. And Donna, who is bawling her eyes out there in the top half of the picture, was the first person to take the £250,000 box to her table. Now, the downside of that was that she'd already dealt at £21,000. So she took it particularly badly and was absolutely inconsolable.
I think we've actually got this clip here. Shall we hear what she sounded like?
Yes, play it.
Were you actually going to be our first quarter millionaire? That's what we're now going to find out.
She's really crying.
She is really crying.
She won £21,000.
Yeah.
And she's bawling her eyes out.
Yeah. I know, it seems completely ridiculous.
It does, doesn't it, when you think of it like that?
It does. But actually, what we've got at play here is a psychological principle called loss aversion, in that we all feel a loss much more than we feel a win. So if we win £100, we get a spike of emotional response to
yes.
that £100 win. If we lose £100, we get a spike of emotional response to that loss. But that emotional spike is actually twice as big for the loss
yes.
as it is for the win. So we actually avoid losing if we possibly can. And that's exactly what she did by dealing at 21,000. She was avoiding the loss. Do you get what I mean? She was fearful that she wouldn't go on to win £21,000,
yeah.
that she would end up dealing at 7,000 or 5,000, or perhaps that she'd become another member of the 1P Club. But actually, you know, had she had the desire and the guts, I suppose, to carry on, she could have walked away with £250,000.
That's the principle of the show, isn't it? You're appealing to people's sense of trying to minimise the the potential low.
Minimise the pain,
totally. Yeah, it's like, well, it's a big thing in betting and things now, isn't it? All these people go on sports bet. You see it on the telly. Oh, cash out, don't see your bet all the way through.
Yeah.
Because you're guaranteed to take this money now or it could go down.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, I mean, the thing about that is that we can watch Donna, we can listen to her, and we can think we wouldn't behave like that. But actually, in all likelihood, we would be.
It's a feeling we can all empathise with, isn't it? It absolutely is. How would you feel if you lost the opportunity for that? If it was so close and it slipped through your fingers? Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and in reality, your life's no different.
No, exactly, because we are on the business hub here. So I'm guessing, Laura, we're moving towards somewhere with how this can affect you in business.
We are, yeah. And it isn't just a trite message about seeing the positive and putting things in perspective. Because leadership is really about understanding the psychology of yourself, obviously, but also those around you and the impact that environment has and the impact that you have on these people. And so if you can watch Donna and understand that what she's going through is loss aversion, then it means you can tap into where she is in her psyche and you can understand her. But what Donna shows is a principle that comes into business in terms of people who fear to step outside of their comfort zone. So research tells us that 90% of people would like to start their own business.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So guess how many do?
Oh, it's going to be a hell of a lot less than 90%.
It certainly is. 5%.
Wow.
5%, okay. And that's because people fear the losses that might occur should they start their own business.
Yes.
So they might, well, what would you imagine that people would lose?
Well, people often put their almost entire life into it, don't they? They often remortgage houses or
put money in. Okay, so they might lose what level of financial security they've got at the moment,
I guess there's the emotional side as well. You hear of people who put so much of themselves into the business from an emotional point of view that they lose time for their family and therefore relationships break down, things like that.
Absolutely. They might lose face, if they start a business and then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
They could lose potential earnings, obviously. So say if they're earning £25,000 a year, sort of £2,000-ish a month, and they decide to give a business 3 months, then they could lose that £6,000. But actually, if it succeeds, then they could perhaps earn £100,000 a year, for the rest of their lives and perhaps have a nice work-life balance and build a business that's for their future.
Yes.
But people focus on what they're going to lose or what they might lose a lot of the time. So it stops people challenging themselves and stepping outside of the comfort
zone. And you hear a lot of statistics that kind of fuel that fear as well, don't you? You hear somebody was telling me on a recent episode of this show that there is a huge percentage of new businesses that fold within 5 years.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing is going to stoke that level of fear, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Another way of using this loss aversion to motivate yourself, and it's a way that I've used it before, and boy, does it work. We first heard about this with a woman in America who wanted to lose weight. And she gave, I think it was £1,000 to a family member and said, if I don't lose the weight that I want to lose by September the 1st, say, you can give that £1,000 to a cause that I can't bear, a cause that I am dead against.
Yes.
And the family member said, I will give it to the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh.
What motivation is that to carry on losing weight?
Wow.
So I did it when I was a student. I went back to university in 2008 as a mature student, and when I was a student I wanted to lose, I'd been losing weight and I'd plateaued and I still wanted to lose the final, 3 or 4 pounds, and I couldn't do it. I was finding it really difficult. So I said to Chris, right, you can have £500 of my hard student money to spend on computer games, which I don't agree with. I completely disapprove of, if I'm
going to stay quiet.
Honest. Yeah. So you can have £500 to spend, to waste, in my version, on computer games. And actually, this time again, so I'm, 6, 8 years further on from that now, and I've just used it again. I've said to Chris, you can have £1,000 to spend on whatever you like, and I must go to the gym 4 times a week from now until September, until I'm really back in the habit of it again.
Yeah.
because I've allowed myself to get out of the habit again. So £1,000, I don't want him to just spend that. And, you know, conversely, if I do it, then I can spend the £1,000 on jewellery, you know, so I can reward yeah. myself.
So, Laura, every month when you're on the show, we're going to leave people with something to take away in what we call our To Inspire Action.
To Inspire Action on Stray FM's Business Hub.
What's this week's one, Laura?
So this week's To Inspire Action is about raising your own self-awareness so that you can be honest with yourself. Do I not want this opportunity because it's not for me at the moment, which is what you hear a lot of people saying, or because you're really honestly a bit scared? You're a bit scared of losing face, of failure, of losing what you already have. And actually, sometimes what you already have can be not a lot, much of the time. Be brave, raise your self-awareness and be honest with yourself.
I think this is worth trying. I think everything we've talked about today, I think everyone should go and give this a go in some way. And if you don't want to quite put it, take it to that extreme, you can give it a try on a slightly smaller level, possibly. Yeah. But do it on a way that it's got to be something that's going to hurt you, really. It hurt you a bit, yeah. doesn't it? It
so
can't be a fiver.
Do you want me to look after £1,000 of yours, Tom?
I don't have £1,000 for you to look after, Laura. Laura, if people want to find out more about you, what's your contact details? Moving swiftly on.
It's www.toinspire.co.uk. Come along to one of our free seminars at Reading Park.
JFM's Business Hub with Cartridge World Harrogate. Find your perfect printer by chatting to our experts.
Don't forget, if you've missed all of those tips, you can listen again right now. Just scroll back on the player or share with your friends and family with our Audio Boom podcast on the Stray FM Business Hub. Right now, though, it's time to hear from the Harrogate Chamber of Trade and Commerce. They've got their Yorkshire Business Market coming up very soon. But what is the Yorkshire Business Market? Tom has been finding out.
Harrogate Chamber of Trade and Commerce on Stray FM's Business Hub.
The Yorkshire Business Market is, of course, a business-to-business promotion event helping to support local businesses, encouraging people to buy locally and, of course, sell locally. It's on Monday, 18th April, and this will be the 12th Business Market.
Fabulous. So it's an amazing event. We at Stray FM are right behind the Business Market, of course. And of course, right here on the Business Hub, you'll be able to hear how the plans are coming along and from the event itself on the day. Brian, there's some big news, I believe, about a major corporation who are going to be involved.
Yes, with thanks for the help of Harrogate Borough Council and the Local Enterprise Partnership, we've persuaded both Microsoft and Google to be active participants in the Business Market. Google are bringing along their Google Garage, as they call it, to tune up your computer systems and other software-hardware combinations, whilst Microsoft are focusing on digital security. These are going to be very popular free seminars for all YBM visitors. Just log in to book a place at these important events and then to talk to the local experts in IT, software, hardware, email systems, website designs. They'll have stands near the Digital Cafe where these seminars are taking place morning and afternoon.
And I believe the Digital Cafe is a new concept for this year.
Indeed, it is. It's going to be in the room adjacent to where the seminars are taking place, what we're calling the Digital Theatre. And the Digital Cafe will be a series of small tables where people can literally get a tea or coffee and sit and talk to the experts who will have stalls around the room on any aspect of local knowledge required for optimising your digital systems.
And this is something that's coming up time and time again right here on the Business Hub, the word digital. And it's fantastic that the Yorkshire Business Market is going to be pushing forward in all areas of digital this year with these new innovations. So it's a really great opportunity for local businesses. How are the bookings coming along, Brian?
Very well. We're quite content with the inflow of bookings. The cut-off for early bookings is on us, but the stands are available still for just as little as £190 for a one-person business or £290 for a two-person business, right up to a full-blown stand for £500 or £600 for the larger businesses. So any size of business, any budget can benefit from the Yorkshire Business Market. It's a low-cost opportunity, and we've even got some partnership slots available for the larger business that really wants to make an impact.
Absolutely, and there are some great opportunities to speak to so many local businesses around this area, so it's a really worthwhile event. Going to bring in Vicky Carr, who's the PR officer for the Harrogate Chamber of Trade at this point as well. If people are interested in coming along as a visitor rather than an exhibitor to the Yorkshire Business Market, how can they go about that?
Yeah, it's really easy. It's a free entry for business visitors. You just need to register. You go onto the website www.yorkshirebusinessmarket.org or drop us an email, info@yorkshirebusinessmarket.org. Just send your details and then we'll have a badge ready and waiting for you to go. Once you get there, as I say, it's free entry. There's lots of different businesses in all sectors. Have a lot of new products, offers on one of our latest bookings is CSS Mediation. And on the day, they'll be offering 50% training discount to all attendees. So it's worth going just to see the offers. And there's lots of competitions and prizes and things going around as well. Lots of interesting seminars, as Brian says, and a chance to meet VIPs in the halls as well. We have had some great visitors last year. We had Sir Gary Verity, Harry Gratian, and obviously our big sort of business VIP was the Lord Lieutenant of North Yorkshire, Barry Dodd. So it's a great day for a visitor to come and just see what's going on in the business community.
Fantastic. Brilliant. This will be my first Yorkshire Business Market this year, and I'm very excited about coming along to kind of soak up some of that atmosphere and meet some of those people. And it's going to be a brilliant day. We will, of course, have all the news as it develops on our brand new business news desk on the Business Hub in the lead up to the Yorkshire Business Market, and on the day itself, Monday the 18th of April, we will be coming from the Business Market itself, so make sure you're listening then.
Harrogate Chamber of Trade and Commerce on Stray FM's Business Hub.
The Harrogate Chamber of Trade and Commerce, we're also talking about tourism. Michael from Visit Harrogate and Alison from Harrogate Holidays talk about what's great in this local area with Tom.
Harrogate Chamber of Trade and Commerce on Stray FM's Business Hub.
It's essential, I think, to the Harrogate district's economy. You only have to look at the number of visitors we get into the district. Latest figures I had, something like 5.8 million visitors in a year. And if you think what they're bringing into the economy, we have something like 18,000 bed spaces, over 130 places to eat and drink. And if you just think, not only are they providing a service to visitors, but the number of people employed, the number of suppliers who need to supply them, the number of tradespeople who need to actually kit out some of these establishments, how much everything is dependent on those, what is now millions of people who come into the district. And we reckon, you know, there are thousands of jobs which are related to or totally dependent on that visitor economy.
So really is supporting a big section of the local economy.
Oh, yes, yes. And I think if we had no visitors, we would certainly soon start noticing that, and it's something I think that actually primes the whole district in that we're catering for visitors. We like to be a nice place to come and see.
And it's so true. As somebody who's recently come to the district to work, when I tell people where I work from the various parts of the country I've been previously, they always say, "Oh, such a lovely place."
Of course it is, yes, and we keep on saying that and getting those extra people to come in. And it, of course, it'd be nicer if they just stayed overnight or stayed a couple of nights or prolonged their visits. And of course, one thing I should have mentioned, of course, are all those business visitors who come to the HIC and YEC and the other sort of conference venues, sort of also bringing business into the district.
Absolutely. I've worked with a few businesses around the area who very much market their services to the corporate delegates that come in, so absolutely seen that in many sections.
And having spoken to a lot of exhibitors and people who come particularly for those sort of exhibitions and events, they just love Harrogate, and that's again encouraging those users of these events to persuade their organisers to come back year on year.
Alison was nodding her head along with the, it'd be great if they stayed a few extra nights, obviously director of Harrogate Holidays, loving having people using our hotels coming up and staying in the area. Both of you, what are the big events? What are the tourist attractions of 2016 that are upcoming?
Well, 2016 is actually a big year of anniversaries. There's Benningborough Hall, 300 years old this year, celebrating its birthday. In Ripon, the prison's 200 years old this year. Again, very successful museums along with the workhouse. Harrogate International Festival's 50th anniversary.
Of course, we had the royal visit to celebrate that recently.
Of course, yes. And of course, all these, again, bring visitors in. Yeah. Fountains and Studley Royal, it's 30 years since they achieved World Heritage status. And that sort of takes me, those water gardens, into the big theme of this year, of course, is the Year of the English Garden. We're celebrating the 300th anniversary of Capability Brown. So certainly there's a lot of promotion of the gardens offer that the district has, and we in Visit Harrogate are having a major campaign that we will be launching at the Flower Show on the 21st of April, both digital. We've been talking, you know, the digital is always a big important thing, but we'll be producing our own print guide to the gardens of the district. So we're really looking forward to that big launch. And perhaps I ought to mention that the Mercer Gallery is here in Harrogate having a big major exhibition on Capability Brown and the Yorkshire landscape between the 25th of June and the 11th of September, I think, if I've got the dates correct.
Fantastic.
And perhaps I'll just get a little plug in for a competition that we're holding in Visit Harrogate.
Go on then.
Botanicals, Plants and People. We're asking people to take photographs on that Botanicals, Plants and People theme. Just have a look at our website or Facebook page for details. There's still a couple of days left and you might get some tickets to the flower show.
Oh, fantastic. Lovely. So then, tourism, the focus of the March meeting. Alison, I know that you're itching to tell us about the Chamber's March meeting.
That's right. Well, I've been in the tourism business in Harrogate for over 20 years, so I've got lots of good connections with experts in the industry. So the March meeting, which is titled Promoting Harrogate for Business and Leisure Visitors, which is on Monday the 14th of March at Rudding Park. We've got Simon Kent, who's the director at Harrogate International Centre, giving us some news from the HIC. We've got Heather Parry, who is the managing MD from the YEC, the Yorkshire Events Centre, at the showground. And she's doing a quick gallop around the Great Yorkshire Showground and a slow trot around the new 11.5 million Hall 1. We've also got David Shields, who's from Welcome to Yorkshire. He's the area director. And he's doing us an update on from Welcome to Yorkshire. And then Michael here is going to do Home and Away, how Visit Harrogate is planning to attract visitors from home and overseas.
Fantastic. So a real selection of top quality speakers really there who are going to come on and talk about the tourism industry and its benefits to the economy. If people want to come along, how can they find out, perhaps if they're not already a member of the Chamber?
Anyone can come along on the 14th of March. It's 5:30. And as I say, it's at Rudding Park Hotel. And there's networking from 5:30, but then the meeting starts at 6:15. We would prefer you to register to attend and just email info@harrogatechamber.org.
Harrogate Chamber of Trade and Commerce on Stray FM's Business Hub. Stray FM's Business Hub with Cartridge World Harrogate, home to Yorkshire's largest selection of printer cartridges.
Now, back at the start of the year, do you remember this?
Seen anything like this before since
no.
You started living here?
Unfortunately, the frost barrier is still open at the moment as the level.
It was a horrendous start to the year for many, with flooding over massive parts of the UK and in Yorkshire as well. But the question is, did your business get affected? Well, JM Glendinning has got top advice on keeping your business going whatever the weather, and Alex spoke to them.
Yeah, I mean, it was a horrendous time for the region, and I mean, I personally live and work quite close to areas that were really badly affected, so it was terrible to see, even if you weren't personally affected, to see areas that you know well affected like that. But as you say, hopefully we're at a stage now where most, if not all, business homes and businesses are getting back to normal. So probably is a good time now to turn our thoughts to future floods, because it's something that's, we can't rule it out happening again. And just how people can plan more proactively for future floods.
I mean, on your website, on the blog post, you've got a picture of York by the river there, and it's just dreadful, isn't it? You know, how bad it got.
Yeah, like I say, you can't quite believe it. You see it, and you can't, when you see it on the news, you can't quite believe it's the places that recognise it as the place that you know.
Yeah.
So covered in water.
So we've got three main stages for this, and the first one we're going to go to is know your risks. So, I mean, I guess planning is the key, is that right?
This will be quite self-evident, because if you live in an area close to a river, you may have been affected by a flood, or you may already know just how close you've come to a flood in the past. So it's just about being aware of that and making some sort of a judgment call for your business as to how big a risk you think it is. Now, you should bear in mind that it's not just the obvious places that are affected are low-lying premises close to a river. It's not just those that are affected, because you can, if there's a sudden deluge of rain, you can it can overwhelm a drainage system, and you can end up with a flood on your hands through that sort of those sort of means. But yeah, naturally, the places near a river are likely to be most affected and need to be more careful with their planning.
And actually, for a mere £24, if you're not sure of your risk, you can actually find out.
That's right. There is a government organisation now called Know Your Flood Risk, which can be found at the very intuitive domain, knowyourfloodrisk.co.uk. And yeah, quite a detailed flood report. You can buy that for just £24, which is not much in the grand scheme of things. But even if you don't go that far, if you don't feel that you're likely to be affected, you can look at things like the Environment Agency website, and they have email alerts for flood warnings and that kind of thing. So just making sure that you're set up so that the information finds its way to you. I mean, you will find, if you are buying new premises anyway, flood searches and that sort of thing, more so than ever, are a big part of the conveyancing process now. So it's hard for you to buy a new premises without it being flagged up to you at some point that there may be a flood risk. So that then will be the trigger to you for you to do something about it and to give it some thought.
Yeah, I mean, I know at the radio station, you know, those Environment Agency alerts are really crucial, aren't they? And just knowing what's on the way weatherwise, really.
Absolutely, because I mean, the particularly the ones in late 2015, they just came on really quickly. We had some degree of warning in the weather forecast, but when they hit, it was very rapid.
And once you know how much of a risk you're under, the next thing is to actually have a plan for how to deal with it.
Yeah, so I mean, it really, to plan fully, you just need to think about all the things it could affect. Now, obviously, the flooding to the premises itself, but it's also about thinking about, as the if the flood is likely to happen, just thinking about at what point you make certain decisions, such as closing the premises and that kind of thing. But also, as well as thinking of your premises and people, you've got to think of people getting to and from work. You've got to think, are there any journeys that you need to make during that time? And are there any deliveries or any other visitors planned to your offices? And it's just thinking about those and sort of heading off any potential problems.
And I guess alternative premises where that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nowadays we thankfully live in an age where, say, if you're a firm of management consultants or something, the likelihood is that you could work from home for a short period of time individually. But of course, you may need to arrange alternative premises. It is most difficult for any sort of manufacturing businesses where they rely on certain specific machinery that's hard to replace quickly.
And the next thing, the third one really, is how to react. So, I mean, there's some quite good advice again from the Environment Agency, which you've got on your website.
Yeah, I mean, they've issued a really detailed guide entitled Would Your Business Stay Afloat? So strongly recommend that people, I mean, if you just Google Would Your Business Stay Afloat Environment Agency, you'll easily enough find that free guide.
Yeah.
There's also, if you go to our website, which is jmginsurance.co.uk, there is a news item on there about the floods. At the time we're recording this, it's currently our most recent news item, so you'll find that easy enough. But if you just search for flood on the news section of our website, you'll find a link through to that Environment Agency guide.
Okay.
This is where it's reacting to the flood is where it's hard to give really prescriptive advice, because it depends on exactly how you're affected.
Sure.
But you can speak to the Environment Agency or your local fire and rescue service about things like pumping out water from the property and that sort of thing at the time.
And when it comes to cleaning up, health and safety kind of comes into that, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, sure. And there's another very important point we mentioned here. So if you imagine that you have employees, you might be a small business that's got very long-standing, loyal employees, and they'll be all too willing to come in and help out and see it as a team effort. But just as their employer, just bear in mind that it's quite a big departure from their normal nature of their work. So in health and safety terms, you're still responsible for them and their health and safety. So make sure you do have protective clothing and anything else that they need to avoid the risk. Because as you probably know, one of the biggest risks of flooding is contamination.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you never know what's coming up at our drainage systems.
Well, I know there was a big cleanup in Kirkstall when all the businesses there flooded. And, you know, some of the nasty stuff that the river air dredged in, not very nice.
Yeah, no, I've not heard about that one, but it doesn't surprise me at all. So it's just important to know those kind of details to make sure you're staying on the right side of the rules.
And obviously you get advice from your insurer or broker before actually declaring it, you know, for sort of working in again, really.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The insurer, whoever's handling the claim, will sort of say when it is fit for habitation again, or what you need to do to get it to that stage.
Business Hub Key Points.
So just to kind of summarise that then, quite easy to remember, three steps. So establish your risk level first, have a plan to deal with it, and know how to react.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone needs any help, they can always contact us or for any advice on how to react to the flood.
And you can give you guys a call or pop on the website.
That's right, yeah.
And the number 01943 581 164.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
And the website, I'll give you that again, jmginsurance.co.uk. So really useful blog that, actually, because I can't imagine what it'd be like to have a business flooded, but I guess the first thing you might do is panic, you know.
And also worth mentioning, if they visit that blog site, there is a link on there to the sign up for our newsletter, which it's not a very salesy newsletter. It is just we just give really good common sense advice for SME and owner run businesses in the region.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's Business Hub podcast from Stray FM. Don't forget, you can listen live when we broadcast on a Monday, 7 p.m. on Stray FM, or come and share the podcast like you are doing now, and share it with your friends on social media as well, and let's get the business world talking. Don't forget, if you've got any stories you want to share on the Business Hub news desk as well, you can get in touch with us by going to strayfm.com and using the form at the bottom of the page, just underneath the podcast where they are now, and get in touch. And join me again next week for the Stray FM Business Hub.
Stray FM's Business Hub with Cartridge World Harrogate. Running low on ink? If your cartridge isn't in stock, we'll get it for you.